6 Sundays ago, on the Sunday after Easter, our gospel reading for the day was taken from a part of John's Jesus story where the disciples were locked inside an upper room on that first Easter Sunday evening. If you're with us for that service, perhaps you'll remember how I spoke about what had been going on for the disciples in the time between Jesus' arrest and crucifixion and the time when the disciples received the news on Easter Sunday morning from Mary that the tomb of Jesus was empty. Perhaps you'll remember how we spent some time reflecting on the experience of Thomas at that time. If you're new to church, or perhaps you don't know the story so well about Thomas, Thomas was one of the disciples of Jesus, and he wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus appeared on that first Easter Sunday evening. And even though the disciples told Thomas about it afterwards, even after they shared the news that they had seen Jesus, that Jesus was in fact alive, Thomas wasn't able to believe it. And he actually said to them, unless I see him, unless I put my fingers in the wounds in his hands, I'm not going to believe it. I spoke that Sunday about how people sometimes come down on Thomas for his doubts, that he simply didn't have enough faith. But I also talked about how I could identify with Thomas. Because of what Thomas did, or perhaps more precisely, because of what Thomas didn't see. It wasn't just that Thomas hadn't seen Jesus. We also reflected on the fact that Thomas didn't see any change in the other disciples from when they had met with Jesus to the day that he was with them. Because they, on that first Easter Sunday evening, they were locked inside a room. And then even though they had seen Jesus the following week, they were still locked inside a room. If Thomas had seen some evidence of changed lives in those other disciples, that might have been sufficient for him. But he didn't. Even though they said that they'd seen Jesus, still they were behind closed doors. 10 people whose lives seemingly were no different. I got to say, when I heard this morning our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, my mind was pushed back to that first Easter Sunday evening and the image of that locked door, where the disciples were hiding behind, even after hearing the news from Mary that the tomb, in fact, was empty. Today, as our passage was being read, I once again pictured a door. Now, I'm not sure whether it was the same door that the disciples had been behind on that first Easter Sunday evening, but I'm going to assume that it was. That the place the disciples had gathered on the first Easter Sunday evening was the same place where they gathered in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension. And as I think about that door, I find myself wondering what part it played as the whole Jesus story unfolded. And perhaps more importantly, how it might even play a part in our Jesus story today. I wonder whether the image of that door might have something to say to us as we gather on this Pentecost Sunday. Whether God has something to say to us as we reflect on where we are in God's story. And I want to title the sermon today, The Step Beyond the Door's Threshold. So let's think about that door for a moment. There's a common expression, if these walls could talk. It's really a reference inviting people to imagine what the walls of a room might say after having witnessed what went on inside that room. If the walls were actually able to witness what they might say. My sister and her husband, they live in a house that is more than 300 years old in the UK. Now, when we visit them sometimes, I find myself thinking about all the people that lived in that home prior to my sister and her family. Now, that's an example of where you might use such an expression. If these walls could talk. I mean, just imagine the conversations, the stories, the experiences that went on inside the rooms of my sister's home down through the years. Well, just imagine if the door to the upper room could talk. Just imagine what it might have experienced from being locked tightly on Easter Sunday evening to being carefully opened just to let a couple of people in when two followers came back from Emmaus and they had news to share with the other disciples. From the door being locked again a week later. And Jesus still appearing despite the locked door and inviting Thomas to touch his hands to prove that it really was him. Over the next few weeks, I can imagine that door opening and closing much more freely. As the disciples came and went, you know, there are a number of stories in scriptures, of the risen Jesus appearing to his disciples. Now, there's no more references to him appearing in that upper room, but in various other places he did. And as I think about those times, I find myself imagining the disciples coming back to that upper room at the end of the day, sharing their stories, sharing their experiences, talking about the encounters that they'd had with Jesus. Like the post-resurrection story of the time when some disciples were out fishing and they weren't having much success. And Jesus was on the shore and he shouted out to them, "Put your net onto the other side of the boat." And so they did that. And they caught a huge haul of fish. And Peter at that moment knew that it was Jesus on the shore. And so he jumped into the water so he could go and meet him. Or what about the story of Peter, that Peter would have told of the time when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And how those questions caused Peter to reflect on his previous three denials of Jesus on the night of Jesus' arrest. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he mentions Jesus appearing to more than 500 people in one place. And while Paul doesn't go on to give any more detail in his letter, I can imagine the disciples talking about that experience when they came back to that upper room at the end of the day. Very likely, the door wasn't ever locked again, as it had been on that first Easter Sunday evening or the week that was following. It's probably simply something that the disciples went through each day. And as they went through it, they were probably wondering where might be their next encounter with Jesus. Those 6 weeks must have been incredible for those disciples. If that door could talk, oh my goodness, the stories that it could tell. And yet, would it all be the same after Jesus' ascension? Would the energy, would the excitement in those disciples have been as high after the ascension as it had been before? between that time of Jesus, his resurrection and his ascension. You know, a part of me wonders whether it might not have been. Now, Scripture implies that the 10 days between ascension and Pentecost, that everything was straightforward for those 12 disciples. It speaks of them devoting their selves to prayer. And I don't doubt that was a part of it. But I wonder if there were any questions also during that time. I wonder if there was any time of confusion for those disciples. I wonder if there's any times of struggling or any doubt creeping in. I mean, we have a general account of what they did. We have a general account of how they were all focused. But I wonder if there might have been times when, in some of them at least, questions and struggles might have surfaced. Now, maybe I'm wrong in suggesting this. Maybe it's just me projecting myself into the story. Because I know that I would have had some questions. I might have had some struggles. My faith isn't always way up here. Maybe Jesus not being with them any longer didn't faze those disciples in any way. But I wonder whether it could have. And I wonder whether the time between the ascension and Pentecost might have been filled with some questions, at least some questions, as much as there were some answers. I wonder what the door would say if that door could talk. In last week's sermon, Rob talked about the time in between ascension and Pentecost being an in-between time. And I think that was it was something that he said it was from the end of something before the next thing began. I think that was a really apt description of that time. I wonder how the disciples experienced that time. I wonder how often the disciples crossed the threshold of that door. I wonder how often that door was opened during that in-between time. And then we come to the day of Pentecost. Our passage today was incredible, wasn't it, in its description. Listen to what it says, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound of a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The time of waiting was over. Sure, Jesus wasn't with them physically, but His Spirit had been sent to them, and that Spirit filled the disciples to overflowing. Can you imagine what an experience, what an incredible experience that must have been? The sound of a violent wind, not outside the place where they were staying, but inside. And that violent wind, I can just see it being so powerful that it just blows the door wide open. Tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. And the believers suddenly started speaking in language that they'd never been taught before. It would have been incredible. And then as the passage continues in verses 5 and 6, we're told that there were other people in Jerusalem at that time who heard the sound, who came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. People from other nations gathered around, wondering what on earth was happening. You know, as I imagine the story unfolding, I find myself wondering about the reaction, wondering about the response in the disciples at that time. And did they just head on outside without giving it any second thought when others started gathering around? Or for some at least, might there have been even the slightest of hesitation? 7 weeks before, the door had been locked. 7 weeks before, the disciples were hiding away for fear of what might be done to them. And now the door had been blown wide open, and the threshold lay before them. What would be waiting for them on the other side of the threshold? They wouldn't fully know until they went through that open door. You know, up to that time, all their encounters with the risen Jesus had been in the presence of other believers. Up to that time, Jesus had been with them in person, and he seemed to appear whenever they needed. Up to that time, they'd been in the presence and the safety and security of one another. But would that always be the same? Just prior to Jesus' ascension, Jesus said to his friends, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If the disciples went through that open door, if they stepped past that door's threshold, if they left that upper room, they would be saying yes to Jesus. Yes, we will be your witnesses. And while we might like to think that there would have been absolutely no hesitation in them because their faith was so strong, or because the power of the Spirit was so strong that there was no possibility of any of them ever resisting, I wonder if the very thought of this being the step from which there would be no return might have given them the cause for even the slightest hesitation. By taking the step beyond the door's threshold, they were opening themselves up to the unknown. They would be leaving behind the safety and the security that their lives had come to know. They'd be leaving behind the familiar, leaving behind the more predictable, leaving behind a life in which they were in control. By walking past that door's threshold, they were opening themselves up to the Holy Spirit to take a lead. Opening themselves up to going where God wanted them to go. To a life where God, through His Holy Spirit, would be directing. We see the disciples' response in the reading, and we assume that there was no deliberation, no choice to be made, that the disciples really had no say in the matter. But they did. The choice was up to them. Sure, the Spirit had been given, but what would the disciples do with it? Where would the disciples go with it? Would they simply stay in the house and soak in the wonder of it all? Or would they take a step beyond the door's threshold and open themselves up to what was on the other side? Would they go beyond that door's threshold? Would they open themselves up to all the possibilities that God might lay before them? Or would they choose the safety and security? Would they limit themselves to what they knew and instead seek out a life of their choosing? Once the Holy Spirit had been poured out, the choice, it was all theirs. Would they stay where they were? Or would they step beyond the threshold that they might be witnesses in the world for Jesus? Thankfully for the Christian church, all of the disciples did go beyond the door's threshold. They did go out to those who'd gathered on the other side, and they spoke the wonders of God in the languages of those who'd gathered. Thankfully for the Christian church, Peter took the opportunity that the Holy Spirit gave him, and he proclaimed to the people what was happening. Thankfully for the Christian church, as Peter and the others proclaimed the good news, so did the Holy Spirit work in them and through them to such an extent that if we were to go a bit further than our reading went today, we would have heard that as many as 3,000 people became Christians that day. All because some people had said yes to the Holy Spirit. All because they were willing to hear a call and to take a step through an open door towards the unknown, knowing only one thing, that the Holy Spirit would be with them. Friends, on this day of Pentecost, I find myself wondering if there has been any way in which I have or any of us have been holding ourselves back, hesitant to take the step that the Holy Spirit has been calling us to take. What chance is there that I or any of us have gravitated towards the safety and the security of the unknown because of our fear or our unwillingness to venture towards only that which God knows? I find myself wondering if there's any chance that I or any of us have contented ourselves too much with our relationship with Jesus that we've been hesitant to step past the threshold of that Pentecost door that we might bear witness to Jesus to others. Have our sights been set too low? Has that thrill of trusting in Jesus, has it been replaced by a desire always to know exactly where we're going before we even get there? How have we exchanged being witnesses for Jesus with simply just being friends, provided being friends with Him is convenient to us? To what extent is the door wide open and we're hesitant to cross its threshold? You know, just over a week ago, I came across a prayer first prayed by Sir Francis Drake, a British sailor who circumnavigated the globe back in the late 1500s. I want to share his prayer with you. It goes like this. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push back the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? I think perhaps a prayer that we need to be praying each day. Friends, on that day of Pentecost, a door that once had been locked shut was blown wide open. And yet for some, it could just as easily have looked as though it was still closed. If those on the inside had been unwilling to cross its threshold and take hold of the ministry that awaited them beyond it, may we have the courage to examine that which holds us back. May we hear the Spirit's call to allow ourselves to be filled to overflowing, not for our sake, but for the sake of those beyond our walls. And may we take the step beyond the threshold this day and every day, that we might bear witness to Jesus to the ends of the earth. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit sent down to your church at Pentecost. Lord, we know that there are times when we have questions, we have doubts, we have struggles. We don't know whether we want to take that next step. But Lord, we pray that you will give us more and more confidence in you. We pray that you will fill us more and more with your Spirit. Give us the courage to open ourselves up to you, that we might be filled by you, that we might bear witness for you to the people around us. It's these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.